You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. One community we wanted to return to is Baltimore. In May, the city had its deadliest month in 40 years, with 42 murders. I went to Baltimore earlier this week to talk to Munir Bahar, an accountant and community activist who runs programs in some of the city's low-income neighborhoods.
So we're in southwest Baltimore in a neighborhood called Picktown, not far from the M&T Bank Stadium that most people would know from out of town. And this is a very mixed community. Down the street, you got the hood, a place, again, where folks are living. Median income is less than $20,000. And then you got, you know, right behind us, you got $200,000-$300,000 homes.
And then down there, you got kind of row houses.
Yeah, you got the hood.
Bahar and I went into his office to talk about his work. He has two main programs, Core Community, which works with kids, often through martial arts, and the 300 Men March. You may have seen them in the TV coverage of the unrest there. They go out into neighborhoods, talk to community members, and try to interrupt violence.
We go through communities and talk to residents about bringing down the violence and sort of toning down the violent culture that we have in Baltimore. So that's what we do on a weekly basis. The big march that we have is on an annual basis, in which we bring hundreds of men out and we have a 10-mile march on North Avenue in Baltimore City.
What's a day like out with the street team? What's a night like? What are those conversations like?
It all depends on the mood and climate of the people that we interact with. It's organic. You know, we don't necessarily go out with a cut-and-paste phrase that we say to everybody, because it depends on the mood, you know, of the person. It depends on what could be going on. Maybe something just went on, and we use that to start the dialogue. I mean, there are many conversations. We talk to young people. We talk to old people. Our one core message is that we must stop killing each other. And we use the word we instead of you to make the conversation inclusive.
You know, there have been so many conversations about Baltimore in the national media, here in the city, and other places. How much of where the city is trying to go, in your eyes or in other sort of community leaders' eyes, how much of that comes back to needing more money?
Well, here's the thing. Before you talk about money, you got to have a purpose. And right now, there's so many conversations in Baltimore as far as where Baltimore needs to go. But what I think is in conflict are the purposes. You have essentially a few different Baltimores operating here. You have a corporate Baltimore. You have an affluent Baltimore. You have a low-income Baltimore. You have a street Baltimore. So you have all these different Baltimores, and a lot of the conversations are in isolation with each other. You know, there are very few individuals who can bring the different Baltimores together to have one conversation.
The sort of best numbers on mobility show if you are an African-American boy born in Baltimore, basically you're going to have a 20% earnings gap between your white peer, maybe born in Baltimore County. For someone like you who works in the community, how do you hear those numbers and not throw your hands in the air?
I don't pay attention to them. Like, they mean nothing to me. You know,
really?
Yeah, they don't mean anything to me because I treat everybody like an individual, and I treat everybody from the jump as an individual who has the power and capacity to do anything in life. You know, a kid I'm working with could be the next president, could be the next World Bank leader, could be anybody. You know, and so I treat everybody at that level. I can care less what any report says. I don't care if the report was done in front of me. You know, I believe in a world that can be created, not in a picture that's created, and then we build a world to suit that.
So how do you do that then? You know, walk me through moving from June after a really violent month and a lot of unrest in the city toward instilling that kind of confidence in a small child who you work with, for example?
Well, it's going to take a massive program, you know, expanding program operations, which is what we're trying to do across the city. So it takes consistent engagement. The word I like to use is training. When you go, I went to school for accounting, and this was my only adult job that I've had leaving school. I work for 30 days at a payroll firm, all right, paychecks. So, yeah, I'm an accountant. So I have the capacity. I understand numbers. I know how to crunch and all those things. But yet I had to go through 2 weeks of training. Okay, they sent me to their headquarters in Syracuse, I think, no, Rochester, for 2 weeks of training to be able to do the job that I was hired to do, which is to be a payroll administrator. So that is the model for all successful engagement, no matter what it is. If we want children to succeed, we have to train them to succeed. We just can't say, you know, succeed, do well in school, get good grades. And a lot of times that's all children are getting. And the schools these days, they're not really being trained. They're being educated, per se. But education and training is different.
So how would you train me?
As a child?
Sure.
Well, through frequent, consistent engagement. You know, frequent being 2 or 3 times a week for a minimum of 2 years to be able to indoctrinate you with a set of values. Those values will be indoctrinated through, it could be classroom instruction, it could be physical training. We use physical training in the martial arts here to instill values. It could be case studies, it could be field experiences, it could be trips, guest speakers, a lot of different ways to instill the same values consistently, frequently, you know, over a period of time.
What do you want to see happen here in a year?
The murder rate, I'm just starting simple, the murder rate significantly low. Significantly low. That's a stepping stone that'll provide the morale that the people need, the hope. Right now the current murder rate is destroying people's hopes and sense of hope for Baltimore City. I mean it's people operating in a state of fear versus a state of hope.